It's the Connacht GAA Championship. Galway travel to Markovitch Park to take on Sligo in this year's Connacht GAA Championship semi-final on Saturday. Throw-in is at 3:30. Supporters are advised to buy their tickets in advance. Tickets are available from ga.ie/tickets or at selected Super Value and Central stores. No tickets are on sale at the venue on the day. GAA, where we all belong. If you want to be in with a chance of going to see Galway play Sligo in Markovitch Park this Saturday, all you have to do is text in Connacht right now with your name and location, and we'll be picking the two winners of a pair of terrace tickets for Saturday's game a little later on in the programme. So get Connacht into our text and WhatsApp line. That's 086 38 33 553, and do so straight away. You're welcome back in to the Cut and Trust of Galway Talk. So I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by Jenny Roach, who is a lecturer in film studies and a member of the University of Galway staff for Palestine, and also by Dr. Deirdre Curran, who is Vice Dean for Equality, Diversity and Inclusion at the University of Galway. Ladies, you're both very welcome onto the programme today, and it's part of this nationwide day of action for Palestine taking place on higher education campuses. Jenny, you might just take me through this and tell me about what's happening at the University of Galway campus today.
Sure, John, and thanks for having us on. We just want to let people know about a solidarity event which we're holding on campus at lunchtime today at 1 p.m. Primarily to protest the ongoing genocide in Gaza and the scholasticide, which is the deliberate targeting and attempted obliteration of the education system in Gaza, and also to stand in solidarity with our Palestinian education colleagues, and colleagues, fellow students who've been murdered and maimed in such outrageous numbers, and whose education has been curtailed or destroyed. And like you said, it's part of a nationwide day of action. So we're also standing in solidarity with our colleagues across Irish campuses who are demanding a statement and action from their own institutions, who, despite the grotesque kind of situation in Gaza, have remained largely silent. Except for University of Galway, our own university, which did issue a statement in February, no other institution in the country has made any similarly strong, definitive statement condemning what's happening in Gaza and offering support to Palestinian academics, students, scholars, research. So that's what we are... That's the purpose of today's action, and we hope that as many people as possible will join us, because while we're the university community, we're a university community, this is about education in a much wider sense, because it's not just universities. I mean, every university in Gaza at this point has been bombed. Mm. Many of them completely destroyed. Over 200 schools have been bombed. Many of those destroyed. Over 5,000 educators and students have been killed, and countless numbers maimed and traumatised, and the entire infrastructure obliterated. Mm. So we just really, we should be shouting and screaming about this.
We also have Dr. Deirdre Curran, the Vice Dean for Equality, Diversity and Inclusion at the University of Galway. And there are strong links with Galway City and with the University of Galway to Palestine. I know there's a lot of students that are from Palestine. I've talked to many of them myself. Mm. So there is a bit of a rapport there.
Yes, John. So again, thanks for having us. And just to reiterate what Jenny was saying there, this show of solidarity today is open to everyone. Openness actually is one of our university values. So we would be delighted to see people come into our campus to show solidarity with the Palestinians. In my role as Vice Dean, I've had the privilege of meeting students from Palestine and from all over the world, and from getting an insight into their lives and trying to do what I can in my small way to support students who are facing all kinds of challenges. I mean, for me, a university, someone said, should be a place of light, of liberty and of learning. if in a university, which is somewhat ivory towerish, if we can't stand up and speak out, then where can we? So I think all of us can do a little bit more to support the Palestinian cause, and we are just trying to take a step together. What I love about this initiative is it's a group of staff for Palestine and students for Palestine. So we're all collaborating together on this issue. I've met some wonderful people over the last 6 months. I've worked in the university for 30 years. So I've met a lot of people who are unified by this frustration, by this abhorrence of what's going on. We have children in Gaza who are starving to death from a man-made famine. There are food trucks a couple of miles up the road. And it's happening on our watch because of social media. We can see it all. And in our time, and, you know, when our children and grandchildren come to us and say, "What did you do?" I just like to be able to say that we tried to do something. Mm. Now, as Jenny said, our university president did make a statement, and that for me is a demonstration of ethical leadership. We would love to see other higher education institutions follow suit. We'd also like to see our institution take the next step. So we want to try and support scholars from Palestine to continue their studies here. We want to organise a boycott of Israel links with Israel, and there is a working group in place in the university at a very high level who are looking at this. I just think we can all do a little bit more and join our voices together in support. Today actually is Palestine Prisoners Day. It's been celebrated on this date for the last 50 years. That's kind of what triggered this event. There are currently 10,000 Palestinian prisoners in Israel. 200 of them are children. And being in prison in, you know, as a Palestinian prisoner is not quite, it's not the same luxury that an unfortunate term that other prisoners might be familiar with. So these are very, very difficult circumstances. And you've got children, you've got people who are what they're called administrative detainees, which means they don't know what they've been charged with. They haven't been given any evidence that they've been charged with a crime, and this can go on. So you know, it's one day, it's one event, but hopefully it's an ongoing. We're working with our Palestinian community on campus to see what can we do next. How can we use our voices from the safety of our privilege and do a little bit more to help those who are desperately in need?
Mm. I think everyone in Ireland, or at least a vast majority, can get behind a call to the cessation of violence in any conflict, no matter where it is in the world. I suppose the uncomfortability comes for a lot of maybe higher education institutions, government voices and other areas as well, when it's looking to point blame and pick a villain. You mentioned there that a boycott of Israel, and you've mentioned that this is open to everyone. Is it open to Israelis, or what's the
absolutely
situation there?
Absolutely. And we know a lot of our Jewish community support any activities in relation to this. You know, just because you're from Israel doesn't mean that you support the atrocities that are being committed.
Yeah, and that is really important.
Yeah, but it is important.
There are atrocities on both sides, though, because the Hamas attack in October started off this latest part of a decades-long war.
75 years. So if we're going to look at October, you need to look at the context of the 75 years that preceded it.
Mm.
And also atrocities on both sides. You're not talking about equal partners. You know, it's not like myself and Jenny have a row, and we're, you know, there's a good either of us have a good chance.
Mm. Yeah,
this is a completely unequal. To call it a war even is misrepresenting it.
Yeah,
it is. You know, it's an assault. It's an attempted annihilation of one group by another.
By another, yeah.
And
the ICJ have ruled that it's a plausible genocide, and they're investigating that now. So they have obviously seen the disproportionality of this, of the numbers of dead for a start.
Yeah.
To talk about both sides really is to.
But is it wrong to look at it as Israel and Palestine as well? Because it's a much wider conflict in the Middle East, as we've seen over the past month as well, in terms of the alleged attack on the consulate in Damascus, of the Iranian consulate in Damascus, by Israel. This could turn into a much wider conflict, and then Israel aren't really the big boys anymore because you have Hezbollah, the Houthis, Iran, Lebanon. It's a much Egypt on one side. Israel don't have many friends in that area, and there is a paranoia there. And in many ways, people can feel quite sorry for them.
Well, it certainly could. It certainly could turn into something, you know, that might actually directly affect us. And you know, with the recent involvement of Iran, it's kind of let's look over here at what's happening here,
and distract from the fact
that small children are dying from famine, and that 33,000 Palestinians have died so far.
That we know of,
and countless others have been injured. So yes, it could develop into a bigger conflict. Israel is being weaponized by the United States and by the UK. And you know, we're not asking. You know, like people say, it's complicated and it's sensitive. We're just asking for some demonstration of humanity, of compassion, of solidarity.
And an acknowledgement of the facts of the history, of the fact that Israel is an apartheid state, that Palestinians are second-class citizens when they're citizens at all within their own country, that their own history since 1948 has been of dispossession, oppression, I mean, every level of injustice, incarceration. I mean, and there are parallels with our own history as Irish people that I think really strikes a nerve, and Irish people tend to understand that.
But do we need to learn from our own history and bring everyone along, bring the terrorists of Hamas along, and also bring, whether you like them or not, Netanyahu's government along as well?
Absolutely.
And are you going to achieve that if you call for boycotts and this type of, this is the point I'm making.
Netanyahu are government officials and Hamas are terrorists. I mean, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. You know, you could.
So, do you support Hamas?
I support resistance. I would say
resistance.
Myself. Yeah. Whatever the name that's given at any given time. I mean, people, a colonized, oppressed people will resist. We know that as Irish people. You know, so
people will argue, though, from our own history, that constitutional nationalism could have won out without 1916 in terms of Michael Collins' Stepping Stones to Freedom. So,
but that came after how long of colonization?
I know, but
how long did it take to get to?
So,
to the idea of
is violence and taking of life justified if it speeds up the process to freedom?
I don't think we're talking about justifying violence one way or the other.
Yeah.
Obviously, violence is never justifiable, but it is
on any side
understandable.
Yeah. But resistance is.
Resistance is, of course.
Yes,
even if in resistance you do end up taking someone's life.
Well, I mean, what is the alternative to resistance? Is it to allow yourself as a people to be obliterated?
Today's event is going to be music, it's going to be poetry, we're going to hear some voices of our university community and beyond.
And it's remembrance of our colleagues, staff and students who have been murdered in Gaza.
And it's, you know, it's solidarity and it's peaceful and it's hopefully going to be enjoyable. You know, but I think there's an appetite out there. You know, I certainly feel it as Vice Dean for EDI, and I'm only one Vice Dean for EDI. There are five of us, actually. I feel that there is an appetite. People are frustrated. They are seeing what's happening. They want their institution to do more. They want themselves to do more, but they don't know how.
Exactly.
We're not helpless. We can all do some little thing, and together those little things become a movement. And I think we need a movement towards a situation where all of the parties, the stakeholders, can sit down together and find a way to live in peace.
The voices in Ireland do seem to get louder. We saw at the weekend there the protests at Shannon Airport as well against the US carriers using it as a base, a drop-off point. Would you be in support of that as well?
Yes, I would really. I do think we have to be true to our own position as a neutral country, for a start, and also to not be complicit, either overtly or covertly, in the transport of arms, personnel, whatever that's Like that's killing kids.
I had Senator Lisa Chambers on this very issue on Monday, and I couldn't get head nor tail whether that we were neutral, we're not neutral, whether this impacts that or not. But would you clearly say it does impact it?
Well, I mean, I personally think it does.
And you know, wars, it's not a war, but this will end. It's just how can we contribute to it ending without more loss of life and people being detained without proper justification and people dying of hunger in our day. I mean, it's just, you know, like we're taking our, you know, our evidence from, you know, from NGOs, from reputable establishments who are on the ground witnessing what's happening. Recently in the university, we had the special rapporteur for Palestine give a talk at the university. We had Dr. Mads Gilbert from Norway, who practices medicine on the ground in Gaza. And, you know, so we, not that we need it, because it's all over social media. We can see what's happening. And, you know, really, I think we just have a duty to try and show solidarity.
Unfortunately, one of your colleagues, indeed, and student at the university, Madeleine Moffat of the Palestine Solidarity Society, who's also studying international human rights law, couldn't make it this morning. But it's nice to see that staff and students are coming together on this.
Yeah. So Maddie is wonderful, and she has been very active, even though she's doing a master's. We have Rania Murhabjab as well from Palestine, and Beatrice Kenosi, and they have just been... They have been helping us to have the courage to move a little bit forward, and it's been wonderful to work with them.
It is brilliant, and Maddie and Rania will both be speaking
at lunchtime today
at the event today as well.
Yeah,
brilliant. Well, we wish you all the best with it as well. Jenny Roach, lecturer in film studies and a member of the University of Galway staff for Palestine, and Dr. Deirdre Curran, Vice Dean for Equality, Diversity and Inclusion at the University of Galway. Thank you both for joining us on Galway Talks. What are your thoughts on this complex issue? Get them into us on 086 38 33 553. That is our text and WhatsApp number. You can phone Siobhan Reception on 0917 700 077, and email comments at galwaybayfm.ie. I'm not going to do an impression of him, even though there's going to be an impression done at the Gala Ball, but Gerry Murphy is up next with motoring.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.
You're welcome to Galway Talks with me, John Morley. To your comment lines now, this listener says, the most known terrorist in the world was Nelson Mandela. We know he wasn't a terrorist, but was labelled one. It's common sense who's the terrorist, and it's not the Palestinians. That says this listener. Another listener says, Liam Carroll has done two stints as mayor. He has done absolutely nothing for the people of Oranmore. It would be in his line to focus on that. Another listener says, traffic backed up on Bohorna Drive due to a car broken down at the Toom Road traffic lights. And another listener says, restricted access to Abbey Street, Abbey Lane, Mount Pleasant and Westbridge areas this morning due to a funeral. So our sympathies go out to that family as well. Now, though, we're going motoring on Galway Talks.
The motoring slot in association with Colm Quinn BMW Select. The ultimate finance at Colm Quinn. Whatever BMW model you choose, BMW Select has tailored finance available that is just as impressive as your new car. Contact Colm Quinn BMW on 091 753 888.
And our motoring correspondent, Gerry Murphy, joins us. Gerry, good morning.
How are you, John?
I'm very well. You have a lovely car outside.
Yes, indeed. This week, we're driving the new Honda CR-V, the plug-in hybrid version. Now, there are two regular hybrid versions and this plug-in hybrid. Car that responds very well to everything you ask of it. Honda, of course, are noted for reliability. Not an awful lot of people will know that the Red Bull Formula One racing team, the engines and those Red Bull cars, which are head and shoulders above everything else at the moment, is a Honda engine. So, I mean, I can't speak highly enough of the particular brand. They're a brand that don't break down. I was talking to a Honda dealer some time back, and he was bemoaning the fact that he really couldn't make very little money from being a Honda dealer, almost jokingly. But I says, why? He says, they don't break down. I don't get any warranty work. and there are no recalls with the brand. They're so bulletproof. So, you know, it's a compliment to them that should be the case. The one out here is a 2-litre four-cylinder petrol with an electric motor and a 17.7 kilowatt-hour lithium-ion battery, which will give you about 80 to 85 kilometres of electric travel without having to use your petrol. So, you know, for somebody around town that's doing 50 or 60 kilometres a day, you plug that in overnight and you have basically whatever the cost overnight of charging that small battery will bring you around the city or in and out to work up to 80 kilometres, depending on how you drive it. Again, all of these things are very dependent. CO2 emissions of 18 grams per kilometre. I haven't mentioned it, CO2 emissions in cars for a long time because we've been testing an awful lot of electric. Motor tax for this is €140 per annum. It is rather quick. It'll go from 0 to 100 kilometres an hour in 9.4 seconds, which is rapid enough in any man's language. And of course, the big question is the price. And the price is 67,995. That's 68 grand for that Honda. Beautifully presented inside. Exactly what I like. Now, it might not be to everybody's taste, but I like the no-nonsense interior of the Honda. Everything in the place and everything in the right place. Access. Most of the functions that you need on an ongoing basis while you're driving are outside of the screen. The stuff that's in the screen is stuff that you'll be setting up earlier and before you head off or what have you. So for all of that, you know, it's right up there as a 9 out of 10 car, as far as I'm concerned. Plenty of space. Looks rather dashing.
Close, yeah.
Now, the one I have is white, so I always look at a white car. Some white cars age very well, some of them don't. I think this will. I think there's a lovely proportion of black elements, glass, to the amount of body panel that's in the car. So that, and really nice wheels, which make a car stand out and make it age very well over a number of years.
And is that a sunroof on it, or what's on the
roof? It has a sunroof. Not an awful lot of cars come with a sunroof at the moment. This is a complete sunroof across the whole roof of the car. And it brightens up the interior, even though the interior is mostly black. All leather, automatic. It's just a really, really nice car. Well presented, well thought out car. Both externally and internally.
And maybe I need glasses, but are there charging points at the back of the car and the front? Or
there's a plug-in. It's a plug-in hybrid, so there's a charging point at the front
and then
the back is for putting in your petrol. So that's the way they work. It's well worth consideration. It's a fair price. Hondas aren't cheap normally, but for what you get compared to the prices of some of the other stuff that's around the place, that comes first in my book.
Well, what are we looking at for it?
68 grand.
I'll keep the Yaris for another while yet.
Well, you can buy, buy the regular hybrid for 69,000, almost 70, or 75,000 for their advanced specification.
Yeah. Now, you also had a test drive of the Mercedes-Benz.
That was
E-Class.
Last week. Yeah, that was last week. It's to me the Mercedes E-Class is the ultimate as far as cars are concerned. It's that little bit above everything else. Comfort levels, drivability, everything that goes with it. Again, a 2-litre four-cylinder petrol engine, mild hybrid. Fantastic fuel economy in it. They tell us that the fuel economy on this is something in the region of 6.9. I was getting well below that, which I've stated here many times about Mercedes-Benz. But apart from maybe the cream interior, which I wouldn't be a fan of, it's almost, I would like a black interior, the carpets and the seating, but you can get that, so that's not an issue. Road tax €200 per week or per month per year here in Ireland. Starting price of the E-Class Sorry, it's a diesel, I should have said, not a petrol.
Okay.
81,185. The car that I had had a number of extra packages added to it, brought it up to 89,318. But it's like driving in bed, John.
Wow.
That comfort level. But what you can also do with it is you can set it up to be more solid, more stiff, heavier steering, whatever your fancy is. Mm. And that's the one area where Mercedes has come a long way. People often compare the E-Class to the 5 Series BMW, and the 5 Series BMW is a fantastic car, but the Mercedes may suit some people better.
Okay. Now, the new Toyota CRH plug-in hybrid has arrived in the showrooms.
Yes, it has. And this is something that people should take cognizance of, because Toyota are well-known for hybrid cars. They're well-known for the CRH hybrid, which is one of their better-selling cars. A really attractive-looking SUV. They've now entered the fray with a Toyota CHR plug-in hybrid, and that will be... a car that a lot of people will like very, very much. It'll do up to 66 kilometres on that plug-in charge for the battery. It has arrived in the showrooms. You can go and have a look at it in a test drive. I think it'll suit a lot of people when they go and look at it. It has a price tag of €45,315. Worth the look. People like the shape of the CHR. I like the shape of it. And it's a really attractive car for people that want to go that direction. And if you want to have fuel-free driving for up to 66 kilometres, that'll probably end up at about 58 or 9 kilometres around town. It's worth thinking.
Okay. Gerry Murphy, thank you for joining us on the Motoring Slot. But by the way, before I let you go, are you looking forward to Aidan Tierney taking you off at the Gala Ball?
No, but sure I don't.
Nothing you can do about that.
He has done it on regular occasions. One of the funniest ones ever was at a sports awards night in Ballinasloe one night. And Darren Kelly out there will tell you about this one, where he ended up on stage interviewing me as me. Get out of that one if you're able.
How did that go?
It was hilarious. Wow. He's a great guy.
Brilliant. We'll see you shortly, Gerry.
The Motoring Slot, in association with Colm Quinn BMW Select. The ultimate finance at Colm Quinn. Whatever BMW model you choose, BMW Select has tailored finance available that is just as impressive as your new car. Contact Colm Quinn BMW on 091 753 888.
Still to come on the programme today, before 11 o'clock, we have the Kane sisters sitting in reception, Liz and Yvonne, and they are the TG Cahir Gratham Ciúil winners for 2024, and they're full of energy out there. I'm a bit nervous. They're next.
Galway talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.
Good morning and welcome into Galway Talks. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by the Kane sisters, who are going to play a bit of music for us. But first, let's have a chat to them, because congratulations, ladies. You are the TG Cahir Gratham Ciúil 2024 winners.
Thank you, John. Thanks a million. It's great to be here.
It's a huge achievement.
It really is. I mean, it was such a shock when we found out, when Yvonne gave me the news back at the end of January, I think. It's a huge honour, but it was a huge shock at the time. But it's...
Because we had to keep it a secret, which is hard to do.
Yeah, and the launch, then we were finally able to let it out into the world on the 26th of March in Limerick. So we're really looking forward to the awards night in Limerick.
On the 5th of May.
Yeah. And can people watch that or go to that, or how does that work?
Both.
It's actually live on TG Cahir at 9:30 on the 5th of May, and people can actually go and get their tickets. So it should be a great night.
And you're well known to people in the Connemara area for all your work in the fiddle world and in the teaching music world as well. Talk to us about what you're at present.
Well, I suppose when we're not gigging and not touring, we're teaching at home in Connemara and in Mayo and in Galway.
I'm in Westport and Galway City here, and then Liz, you're
I teach in Comus and I teach in Letterfrack. So we have many students who we've taught in the past, and we're teaching quite a lot of students, fiddle players, up and coming great players. Yeah. And we love it. We love kids, and we love passing down the tradition, I guess.
If we look at the touring side, I know last year was a very big year for you in terms of touring that fourth album.
I feel like we're around forever. Our first album came out, The Well Tempered Bow, and actually I think that was the last time we were in Galway Bay FM in 2002.
I promise we won't keep you that long again.
Hopefully we'll be still around in 20 years. But anyways, so our last album then 2 years ago, In Memory of Paddy Fahey, we're very fond of his music, Paddy Fahey from Kilconnell. Hello to East all those Galway. Lovely people in East Galway. And so we've played so many of Paddy's tunes, we just felt that it was right to name and honour his music in our last album, In Memory of Paddy Fahey. They're beautiful, absolutely gorgeous compositions of this genius man who passed away in 2019 at the grand old age of 103, nearly 103. So
we brought the album, I suppose, over to the States. We were over in the States about five times last year, between the States and Canada. And again, we hadn't actually been over to the States in about, was it over 10 years or 12 years or something like that?
So fun,
and we'd spent a good few years every summer going over to the States from... Gosh,
I think we were more well known in the States than we were in Connemara nearly. I mean, for
every
20
years
we toured in the States and we played concerts.
Wow.
Just the two of us
and
together,
then we'd taken
really.
A break. Yeah. Liz had
I have a daughter. She's 10 years of age, and her name is Salog. So
that quietened us down.
That did quieten us down, kept us at home. And but sure, look, she's dying to get on the road with us now as well. She's playing the fiddle and she's dancing and playing piano, and sure, there's no stopping on her.
Yeah.
And another Galway legend that you were very involved with and toured with over the years, Sharon Shannon.
We did.
I suppose when I finished college in Cork and moved to Galway with Yvonne, was living, we ended up moving in with Sharon in Mary's Avenue. This is
1999.
This is showing our age now. 1999.
Yeah, so we had a great experience touring the world really with Sharon. We recorded the Diamond Mountain Sessions out in Letterfrack and the Monastery Hostel in Letterfrack, and then we our first gig was I think in Celtic Connections in Glasgow. The second was on a beach in Tenerife to 70,000 people, so it was a huge shock. But we had great times with Sharon and Desi O'Halloran and Mary and Jim, and there was a good gang, and that was about 2-3 years.
We were Sharon Shannon and the Woodchoppers.
And I've heard a bit of your music as well, but it's really stuff for the purists, the trad purists out there.
I suppose we when we finished playing with Sharon, our first album was completely traditional, and we never really moved from that. I suppose you just play what you love, and that's what we've loved. We never really added too much. We have a guitar player with us from
John
the
Blake.
Start, Tom Blake.
Yeah.
And he's not Cain's sister. And when you just play what you love and it seems to work, that's it. We would be very traditional, I suppose, fiddle players.
Now, you have that presentation night coming up. What's the rest of the year look like in terms of gigs and touring?
We're playing at a fiddle festival. It's called Fiddle Fair in Baltimore and Cork. Really looking forward to that.
Last time was 20 years ago as well. So
yeah. We're playing in Glore in July in the lovely theatre in Innes. A couple of things
Studio
coming
Coon
in.
Studio Coon out in Spiddle.
Spiddle. Absolutely.
31st of May.
We're going to England, to London in June and in September. So this,
and then we guessed a good bit with Church the Ladies.
Okay.
The band Church the Ladies. So we're heading on a cruise next February with Joni Madden and Church the Ladies and a gang of other musicians.
We won't say no to that, I tell you.
No.
It's to the Caribbean, so a little bit of sunshine in February would be just ideal.
And it's about 100 musicians.
It's a great cruise. It's called the Folk and Irish Cruise.
Brilliant. Is trad having a bit of a moment? Because there seems to be great interest worldwide, not just in Ireland, for trad music.
It really has taken off. Absolutely. I mean, when we were growing up, there was only about 3 or 4 of us playing in the village.
In the area.
In the area.
Yeah. It was not cool to play.
To play. It's nearly... the actual opposite. It's turned a whole different level. Like, you're cool now if you can play an instrument or if you can dance. You
and know, I tell you, the talent is huge. It's scary how young musicians are coming up, and you know, it's amazing.
Because things like Cultus has really taken off in the past few years.
Cultus has as well, but little festivals, I think, as well, throughout the country are great as well too.
Like I think every week during the summer there's workshops in different parts of, you know, between Milltown, Malby, Achill,
Tubbocurry. It's those summer schools
as well.
And if people want to listen to your music, where's the best place of doing that?
I suppose our website.
Yeah, website. We're on Bandcamp.
Okay.
And you can get our albums on our album, The Cane Sisters.
And you can hear us on YouTube, I'm sure. and maybe Spotify, an odd track thrown in there as well.
Brilliant. Talk to us about the reels you're going to play for us now.
Okay, these are, of course, we couldn't be here without playing a Paddy Fahey tune. So the first two are Paddy Fahey's and the last one is one of my own. We also compose some tunes, and this one I wrote for my daughters, and it's called A Reel for Salloak. So I hope you enjoy them.
Thank you.
Well done, ladies. I must say, I absolutely love those reels, and must be lovely for you to compose a song for your daughter as well.
Oh, it absolutely is. I suppose we've always been kind of touching on, well, I have, and Yvonne, you more recent times, and we've actually started kind of composing together.
Yeah.
But we kind of have behind the scenes as well, because I wouldn't let a tune out into the world unless Missy beside me here gave me the green light. And I'd always ask Yvonne's opinion off a bar or off a first part or a second part. So it was always kind of like, we've always kind of been composing together, really, you know. And if I got the green light, then it was brilliant. It would come out. But no, it's lovely. I love to compose, but it's not always so easy being busy and all that. But
and what's it like playing with your sister over all these years?
It's the best.
Yeah, we're very lucky that we can share this musical journey together. We've met some wonderful people along the way, and the thing is that we're actually great friends. We're buddies, like. So we'd consider ourselves.
We get
really,
along.
Yeah, we get along.
I tell you, if I see you out, I'll run a mile. I'll run a mile the other direction.
Oh.
Liz and Yvonne Cade. I'm only joking. Liz and Yvonne Cade, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, John.
And if people want to tune in to you on the TG Cahir Gratham Ciúil.
May 5th. Yeah.
The very best of luck to you.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
What two rays of sunshine there, Liz and Yvonne Cade. It was great to have them in studio playing that music. And I said the feet are tapping all across Galway City and County now after that. A message comes in to us. John, you have two amazing and talented musicians in your presence. Congratulations to them on their TG Cahir Gratham Awards. That comes in from Jerry. Now, though, I want to reveal our winners. Because it is the Connacht GAA Championship, Galway travel to Markovich Park to take on Sligo in this year's Connacht GAA Championship semi-finals on Saturday. Throw-in is at 3:30. Supporters are advised to buy their tickets in advance. Tickets are available from gaa.ie/tickets or at selected SuperValue and Central stores. No tickets are on sale at the venue on the day, so do not be disappointed. GAA, where we all belong. You're all texting in. I can now reveal our winners for the competition with thanks to Connacht GAA. Our Lee McDonough in Larrigan Roscahill and Jerry Darcy in Uachtaráir. Congratulations to the two of you. You've both won a pair of tickets for the terrace in Markovich Park. We'll be doing it again tomorrow. We have one pair tomorrow for the stand. So tune in between 9 and 12 to be with a chance of winning those tickets. Still to come on the programme today, though, we'll have financial advice with Dave McCarthy of McCarthy & Associates. There's a lot of issues to raise with us today. We've asked the dentist, Dr. Brian Delgado, joins us about the importance of baby teeth. And we're looking at two very linked parts of history talks. James Heenan of the OPW joins us to talk about Portumna Castle and the families involved there. One of those is the Burkes, and they are featured in a book by Dr. Joe Mannion as well, which has been launched in Clare Galway Castle on Friday night. So all that plus lots more coming up on Galway Talks today on the programme. And I was talking to people in Clonbur yesterday. I was a little later than I would have liked, but we have a programme. It'll be coming to you on Friday. Community Matters goes to Clonbur from Chi Burka, Burke's Bar and Restaurant between 9 and 12. If you're in the area, if you're from the area, if you want to get involved, do let us know and come down between 9 and 12 on Friday morning in Burke's Bar in Clonbur. There's going to be a lot of fun to be had there and some great stories to tell between sport, history, live music, nostalgia, the works, even fishing. It's a big fishing area. So all that to look forward to on Friday. And we already have a busy programme tomorrow as well. So all that plus lots more coming up on Galway Talks. A very good morning to you.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road. A new way to car shop.